1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We will emphasize, at least after a little time, those words, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The truth that's found in this text of Scripture, to be made righteous before God, sinners made righteous before God, is illustrated for us in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. In Zechariah chapter 3, we read, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood by, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him, Joshua, he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by." Now there are four primary characters in this reading. There is the Lord in heaven, and there is the angel of the Lord, and there is Satan, and there is Joshua, the high priest. We think about each one of these as they're presented to us in this reading. There is the God of the heavens of the earth, and he is the one who is overseeing these proceedings. And here in Zechariah chapter 3, he identifies himself as the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem. God makes himself known in various ways throughout the Scriptures. In Daniel chapter 2, we read about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he is a king who rules over kingdoms. He rules over a vast empire. And Judah is one of the kingdoms that has been conquered by this great conqueror. Some of Judah's finest citizens have been taken captives to serve in his court. It is in this little book of Daniel that we read of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Early on in that book, we read that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. The dream departed from him, and he couldn't remember it. And it bothered him that he couldn't remember the dream and its contents, and he had a desire to know the meaning of the dream. So he called to his magicians, his astrologers, and his counselors, and asked them what the dream was that he had. And they said, "Tell us the dream and we'll tell you what it means." And he said, "No, you tell me the dream. It's gone from me. I don't remember it, but you tell me the dream." And they said, "No man can do what you're asking of us." The counselors, the magicians, and the astrologers could not tell him his dream nor the interpretation thereof. And the king was ready to put them all to death. Daniel and his three friends retired to the place of prayer. And in a short time, the Lord in heaven had answered their prayers, and Daniel was brought into the king's presence. And he says to Nebuchadnezzar, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets." And he told to Nebuchadnezzar his dream. And he told to Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of the dream. And what the counselors and the magicians and the astrologers could not do, a man who had the ear of God was able to accomplish. But God reveals himself there in the book of Daniel, and he reveals himself to that pagan king as the God in heaven that revealeth secrets. In 2 Kings, we read, the Lord says, in this house and Jerusalem, in this house, the house that Solomon had built, the temple, the most magnificent place of worship, in this house and Jerusalem, he says, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. There is no other city in all of the world that God has chosen to place his name there. And there are those who have sought to utterly destroy Jerusalem, the nation of Israel altogether, the people, the Jews. There are those who are threatening to do such even to this day and to wipe Israel off the face of the map. And it is their stated purpose and public purpose to do so. They will not succeed. For there's a God in heaven who has said, I have chosen to put my name there. And this is the God who has revealed himself in the book of Zechariah, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem. So we have God here as one of the primary characters of this lesson. And we also have the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is another title for the person of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. It is a title that he has that is found only in the Old Testament. There's other uses of the word angel in the Old Testament. There are other manifestations of angels in the Old Testament. But this title, the angel of the Lord, belongs exclusively to the person of Jesus Christ in the pages of the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus is referred to as the Ancient of Days, the Captain of the Lord's Host, the Prince of Peace, and the Lily of the Valleys, and many other names and titles could be given to him. But here in Zechariah 3, he is presented as the Angel of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 16, beginning reading in verse 1, Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. Sarah said to Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. Abram hearkened unto Hagar, and Hagar conceived. Envy was stirred because of this sin, there was envy and strife between Hagar and Sarah. And Sarah dealt hardly, or meanly, or cruelly, or sharply with her handmaid Hagar. And Hagar fled from her mistress into the wilderness. And this title of the person of Jesus Christ appears here in Genesis 16. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. And the angel of the Lord said to Hagar, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hand. I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. The name Ishmael means God shall hear. So she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. She said, I have also looked after him that seeth me. Jesus Christ made himself known to this woman in her great distress. And he dealt with her in a very personal and in a very tender and blessed fashion. He was intimately interested in her life and in her circumstance. The scripture says that the Lord heard her affliction. We know that if there is anything that can be said concerning the person of Jesus Christ, he knows the affliction of his people, and he hears of their affliction. The angel of the Lord. There is a second example to share tonight, though many could be given, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 37, concerning who the angel of the Lord is and of his power as it's manifested in the Old Testament. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, another king who ruled over kingdoms, he came to the land of Judah with a great army. One country after another had succumbed to his conquering armies. One after another had been subjugated to his rule. Warriors followed in his train, fierce and mighty. This army was camped not far off from the city of Jerusalem. Hezekiah was king in Jerusalem at this time. The word of the Lord came to Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah. And thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, the same shall he return, and shall not come nigh unto the city, saith the Lord. Large army, men, soldiers, veterans at war, they were good at what they did. And they had encamped the outskirts of Jerusalem. And the Lord said, by way of his prophet, they'll not come into this city. They'll not fight against it, not one arrow, not one shield, not one bank or effort to breach the wall will be brought against Jerusalem. By the same way the king of Assyria came, he's going to go back to where he came from. And so we continue reading in Isaiah 37. Then the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, we're considering him, the angel of the Lord that met Hagar in the wilderness outside of Abraham's camp. The angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Smote 185,000 soldiers. And when they, the people of Jerusalem, arose in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. The angel of the Lord went forth in great might, judgment, power against this man's army, and brought to bear the fury of the living God, and 185,000 men died in a night. They went to bed ready for battle. They did not awake in the morning. They awoke to the judgment before the living God. And it was the angel of the Lord who went forth in might and power. So the angel of the Lord, the person of Jesus Christ, intervenes. He enters into the affairs of men. We see Hagar, who said, Thou God seest me, that this angel of the Lord is very personal in his dealings with us. And he's also mighty and great in power, and armies cannot withstand his might. So we have the Lord in heaven, who is in this scene, and his Son, Jesus Christ, these two, and also the third of these four principal people in this lesson is Satan. Satan is standing there at the right hand of Joshua to resist him. Satan, he appears throughout the scriptures. Very early on in Genesis chapter 3, he's called Serpent. We know how he beguiled Eve, and Eve took the fruit and gave to her husband, who ate also, and they both fell into sin, but there he is, the serpent. In the book of Job, he's the adversary who's come to accuse, and he takes the opportunity readily to accuse Job. Say the only reason he's serving the Lord is because the Lord has given him a lot of comfort and ease. And Satan, though an adversary, is also a liar. The Lord Jesus identifies him as such. Not only is he a murderer from the beginning, but he is the father of lies. In the book, the Revelation, he is described as the destroyer. The serpent, the adversary, the murderer, the father of lies, and the destroyer. This one, he is a mighty one, is standing there at Zechariah's right hand to resist. He is there as an adversary to Zechariah. He is opposed to this one. So we have these three. The God, who is the revealer of secrets. The God who has chosen Jerusalem and set his name upon that city. The angel of the Lord, who is both very personal and is dealing with people. The angel of the Lord, who is mighty in power and in glory. And Satan, a liar and an adversary to men. And we have Joshua, the high priest. The high priest in the scriptures is a man who offers sacrifice on behalf of the people. He represents the people before God. But Joshua here, he is clothed in filthy garments. He's in no condition to offer on his own behalf or to offer sacrifice on anyone else's behalf. His clothing is filthy garments, but he represents the people. Adam represents us. Adam fell into sin. And as the father of the human race, he brought the whole human race into sin and into ruin. A king represents his people. Sometimes kings represent their people well, and other times not so well, because kings are but men, but they represent the entire nation that they rule over. And Joshua was a representative of the people, of the nation that he served under. He represents men. Every one of us. The scripture tells us in Isaiah 64:6, but we all are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Joshua represents each of us. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The very best things that we could do, the most sacrificial efforts that we might set forth, giving huge amounts of money to charity, or if we don't have huge amounts of money to give to charity, giving the very small that we have, and yet it's all that we have to charity. Being faithful to some church or religious organization or another, being careful to follow all of the precepts that are set down by that organization, to do these good things that are set forth. It matters not how we would list them. And it matters not how many we might be able to list. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Joshua, in this story, had no place before the God the heavens and the earth. He did not belong there, and Satan was there to accuse him. He said, look at this high priest. Look at his filthy garments. Why is this one here? You and I have no right standing before the God of the heavens and the earth. There is no goodness to be found in us. All of our best efforts, kindnesses that we would show, the please and the thank yous that we would offer to others, heroic deeds that some have done to rescue children or to those who are in desperate circumstances, as heroic as they may be amongst men, the scriptures are still true. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We cannot stand before God in our own goodness or in our own righteousness and be accepted of God. Satan stands by and his accusations are there. We do not need Satan's accusations. For we stand in our own filthy rags. We read there in the book of Zechariah, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood by, saying, take away the filthy garments. Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Let them set a fair mitre, or a crown, or a headdress, a fair mitre upon his head, and clothe him with garments. God made a decree and said, put righteousness upon that one. Dress him appropriately. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11 we read, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary. He shall see the travail of his soul, the sufferings. And he suffered as no man has ever suffered. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For in the hour that he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The scriptures tell us, for he hath made him to be sin for us. The righteous Son of God. The scriptures tell us in him is no sin. It says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The righteous Son of God was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is our text for this hour. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might have a standing before God, not because of our own righteousness, not because we were baptized, not because our father was a preacher, or our uncle or aunt was a preacher, not because we've done a lot of really nice things for the neighbors. And well, you know, there was somebody that we took in that was destitute, and we spent a lot of time and money, and now that person is going on, and their life is successful, and it's filthy rags before the Lord. Being found in him, in Jesus Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God through faith. Well, I just believe his word, that the righteousness of Christ is a sufficient righteousness for me. Not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I have no hope in any other, for there is one God. One God, not many, one God, and one mediator. There is just one between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's no one else to please our cause but Jesus Christ. So there's Joshua standing before the Lord. There's the angel of the Lord, and there's Satan at his right hand to resist. And the Lord says, take off the filthy garments, put upon him clean garments, a new mitre upon his head, put him so that he can stand before me, and I will do it, because the angel of the Lord is standing between he and I. The angel of the Lord is standing between Joshua, God who rules the heavens and the earth. Satan standing there, and the Lord says, the Lord rebuke you. I'll not hear what you have to say. You have no place in this matter. I am making a decree here. This undeserving sinner is acceptable to me because of what Jesus Christ has done. In Isaiah, again, chapter 61, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in my God. And then he says, why? For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. My own righteousness. When I say my own, I mean Mark Lager's righteousness is as filthy rags. I could sit here this evening in your shoes, put them on my feet, and I could take your name for my name, and I could say, my righteousness is as filthy rags. It matters not who you are, what your station of life is, or what you've accomplished in your life. You have no righteousness of yourself. None that you were born with. None that you could rack up and accomplish enough that God would be pleased with you, that you would be acceptable before God. For all your righteousnesses, all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. My only hope is in the decree of the living God, that he would see me in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And by faith, I would believe in him and trust him. A song that we sang a little bit ago, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Isaiah, he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. This is my testimony. And I stand in my shoes and say, this is my testimony. Would you stand in your shoes or sit in your shoes? And would you say, this is my testimony? You would say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Would you say, he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. I have no other hope, and I have no other plea. Is this your hope? Is it your plea? And if it's not, oh, would you make it your hope and plea, even now, in this very hour? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth of your word before us, for the promise, the Almighty God, for the illustration that is before us tonight. Oh Lord, that we might know the reality, each one in this place, not only those here in this gathering right now, but others that are here in this residence, those who live here, those who work here, and even friends and family that would come to visit, that this might be a place known as a place where sinners come to know the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Close out and sing the song we sang just a few moments ago. Page 31, the solid rock. Sing that, thinking about it. Our hope built.